We're in the book of Judges, chapter 6. Again, this evening, if you want to stand with us, if you're able, we'll read just a few verses here. We're going to read some different verses. One verse to get us started, and then we'll read on into chapter number 7, where we want to preach from tonight as we've been preaching on the God of the valleys. We've kind of gotten hung up a little bit. I didn't intend on being, amen, making a mini-series inside of the series. But we're looking tonight again at the Valley of Jezreel and studying the life of Gideon and these men that God is going to use in that valley to bring a great, great victory to the people of God, much needed. And God is the one who's going to be glorified in the end of this thing. And we're thankful for God making himself big in our life and in our church and in our families. Amen. When we go through the Valley of Jezreel and what it represents out of Judges 6 and 7. Let's read one verse out of chapter 6, verse number 33, where the Bible said, "Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the Valley of Jezreel." Notice with me in chapter number 7, verse number 1. "Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. There return to the people 22,000, and there remain 10,000. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. All you scaredy cats go home, and over 2/3 of the crowd, amen, said, sayonara, see you later. Amen. But at least he still got 10,000. Is that right? Amen. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many. Bring them down under the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that if whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, This shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people under the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, Every one that lappeth the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. The Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand, and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him. The Bible said they were beneath him in the valley, in the valley. All right, you can be seated. Heavenly Father, one more time, I want to come to you this evening, thankful for the privilege to pray. Lord, the opportunity we have to gather in the house of the Lord. Give us wisdom, Lord, not to squander these few minutes around the Word of God. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, this evening, Lord, that you do a work in our hearts, grow us in our spiritual life, and Lord, the valleys that some may be in tonight. I pray, Lord, that they would understand their foe, that they would, Lord, take account of their tactics, and Lord, the things that the devil and the flesh and the world would desire to do in our life. Lord, the things they'd long to steal from us tonight that you place there. Lord, I pray tonight we'd rise, Lord, with great awareness and sobriety. And Lord, help us, Lord, by faith to look to heaven, Lord, to the God who is the God of the mountains, but is also the God of the valleys. Lord, I pray this evening we'd be found to be a people that you could magnify that truth in these days. And all that you do, we'll thank you for it and bless you for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. We're looking at the Valley of Jezreel and have for several weeks now. And just quickly, we'll rehearse a few things and get into chapter number 7 tonight. We understand this Valley of Jezreel that the Amalekites and the Midianites and the children of Ish have gathered in. We have said that in light of this valley, we looked at the importance of this valley. This valley was very important, highly important to the land of Israel. It's where their food and many of their crops are going to be grown that are going to feed their entire land. And food is going to be dispersed from that valley into nearly every tribe that exists in the land of Canaan where Israel now dwells. We understand it was a fertile plain, a fertile vale, if you will, that produced much fruit and also was important to their trade routes and how they would even travel throughout the region from one side of Israel to the other. And so this is not an unimportant valley. This is a very important vale. No doubt why the enemy has come into this very region to make life difficult on the people of God. We looked at the significance of this valley. This valley plays a major part throughout the Word of God and the historical significance of the land of Israel and their history and things that took place in Jezreel and things that are yet to take place in Jezreel and in this valley are of great significance to the Word of God. But we're looking tonight in Judges chapter number 6 and 7 at the disturbance that is in this valley. This valley in our text here, we find 135,000 Midianites that are invading the valley. This is the seventh year that the Midianites have come in. And in coming in, the way that they would attack the people of God would be that they would wait until the harvest time and then come after the children of God had labored in the field after that they had planted their vineyards, after they had watered those vineyards, after they had tended to those vineyards and had gone through all the rigor of making sure at harvest time that there was fruit to be produced by the hand of God. And then the enemy would come in and steal away those things that God had blessed them with. We see that when we're introduced to Gideon in the early part of Judges chapter number 6, as he is there at the wine press threshing wheat. The Bible said in verse number 11 to hide it from the Midianites. And so this was a time of a disturbance and invasion the enemy has made. And what we find here, Jezreel, where they have come, literally means God soweth, or that God planteth. And we've been dealing with this valley in light of that it speaks to us of the blessings of God and the spiritual growth and the things that God has given us spiritually in our lives by way of laboring for God and serving God and being involved in His vineyard, how that God blesses our life. And we experience growth, we experience a harvest time, and all those things are attributed to the hand of our God upon our lives. I'm thankful tonight when God saved me that that wasn't the end of my relationship with God. I'm glad that He's sown and He's planted some things in my life, and He is the Lord of the harvest, is the one that gives increase and provides those blessings and spiritual growth that we need. I believe it bears repeating again tonight, as we've emphasized it every time we preach from this text, that any spiritual growth and blessing in our life, yes, there is a measure of personal responsibility, but it is God who provides that growth in our life. I don't care how spiritual minded you are, how spiritual you grow, how big and strong you may be in the faith tonight. Hey man, you would have to, if you know anything about the Christian life, you and I tonight would have to fall down upon bended knee and say it is God who has planted those things and sown those things It is God that produces those things in our life. Amen. It's not by us working harder. It's not by, amen, the sweat of our brow, but it is by the sovereignty of God in our life at work. And I'm grateful, amen, for that. As we respond to God, God responds to us again, and we grow in this matter of walking with God. And so what Jezreel speaks to you and I about out of this text we've been dealing with is that the enemy is coming against the people of God, as our enemy does, trying to rob us of those blessings and of that spiritual growth. Amen. The enemy does not want us eating from the harvest that God produces in our life. Amen. And so whatever God sows and plants in our life, mark it down, the enemy is out to snatch that away. And my friend, bring us to a time of discouragement and a time of spiritual poverty and a time of spiritual littleness. And God is saying, I want you to thrive, and I want you to thrive even in the valley of Jezreel. And so many tonight, they have somewhere along the way quit growing. And they began to back up, and they let the enemy steal away from their life the things that God had planted there. And there's a lot of things we could preach on in this hour, a lot of things need preaching on in this hour. Amen. We'll leave it in general terms tonight as the Lord has directed us to get somewhere else. Amen. But I tonight want to know, and I'm glad I do know, and I can report to you tonight that you can know it too, that even in this valley of Jezreel, amen, you'll find that our God is not just God of the mountains, but that He is indeed the God of the valleys. Amen. And so this thought of the God of the valleys, sometimes we would shout on that, amen, just at the prospect of our God being great. But I think that as we approach this study, what this text is teaching you and I is that yes, that God would be saying, yes, I am the God of the valleys, but that does not mean that you do not have personal responsibility. And there are some things that God can do, but He can only do it through a people that is willing and ready, amen, to allow God to shine through in their life. And so we've been looking at Gideon thus far. We looked tonight at Gideon and these 300 men. And we looked at the vision of Gideon in the valley in Judges 6, verse 11 through 24, how that he had an encounter and an experience with the Lord. And if we're going to know, if we're going to leave here tonight saying, yes, He's God of the valleys, and my friend, it's going to take you and I having a personal encounter with God. Amen. Gideon was a saved man, if you will. He is a believer in God. Amen. He was a servant of the Lord. That's going to be referenced later in the text. And yet he still had to have this encounter with the Lord. Amen. In this place where he's hiding, he's just barely making it. But God came to where that he was, and there in this encounter, the Lord seen beyond what Gideon was and saw what Gideon would be. Amen. And I'm thankful tonight for those encounters we have with God. Amen. That enlighten us on what we have with our God. I won't begin to preach all that over again. On last weekend, we looked at the valor of Gideon in the valley. His reference in Judges 6 and in verse number 12. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And so we've seen the valor of Gideon in the valley, particularly in verses 25 through 40. How that Gideon was a man here, the idea of valor is the idea of strength and influence, and is something that is supplied by God. You don't get valor by working it up. You don't get valor just because you've been saved a long time. Amen. You get valor as a receiving that God supplies in your life. God, I believe, supplies every child of God with the measure of valor that we need. Amen. To make it even through the valley. And God gives us a strength and God gives us an influence. You say, preacher, I would have to be honest, I don't have much valor tonight. Amen. Well, you've got to respond to that God has supplied. You've got to exercise. Amen. Just like you do faith and just like you do repentance and just like you do grace. There is a supplying of it on God's end. It demands a response to it on our end. And so valor is something that is supplied by God. He is the God of our strength. He is the God of our salvation. Amen. He is the one that supplies the valor. But, amen, we are the ones that, amen, are enabled by Him to be made strong for war, having been made, my friend, with the ability to judge. And my friend, having been given the ability to live in righteous behavior. Amen. Valor doesn't mean you're a jerk. Valor doesn't mean, amen, you got the biggest muscles in town. Amen. Valor means you got the touch of God upon your life. And by grace, you have been strengthened to do what God has called you to do. Amen. Can I say tonight, He is the God of the valleys. Amen. But He's looking for some men and women with some valor. Amen. We looked at some things about that I'll not get into tonight quickly. In the verses that we've read tonight, as the Midianites have settled in this valley, we understand there's 135,000 Midianites and Amalekites and children of the east that have gathered in. Amen. But we want to look at tonight in chapter number 7, verses 1 through 8, the matter of the vigilance of Gideon and his men in the valley. The vigilance in the valley. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I think these verses we've read tonight, they show to you and I the downsizing of the men who had shown up in the trumpet blast of Gideon, as was made in chapter number 6, verse 34 and 35. Gideon with the Spirit of the Lord upon him. Gideon stirred in his heart. Gideon excited about what God had shown him and what God was going to do. He blows the trumpet of assembly. He blows the trumpet, my friend, in the face of the enemy. He blows it from where he is at. The enemy hears it. And my friend, all of a sudden the sound is heard and men began to commune among themselves, and they learned that it is Gideon that has blown the trumpet, and that it is Gideon that is calling the nation to prepare for war against the foe that has shown up. And so we understand that 32,000, Brother Ronnie, 32,000 Jews and Israelites and men of war began to assemble there where Gideon had blown the trumpet. We understand this is a limited number that came from less than a handful of tribes about the region. But they had shown up 32,000 at the sound of the trumpet that day. Now God says to Gideon, we've got to downsize this thing. And that's remarkable in the sense that, hey man, you've got 135,000 Midianites in the Valley of Jezreel. My friend, that are getting ready to load their wagons down with the harvest that God has given to Israel. And there's 32,000 little ragtag bunch of Israelites, hey man, that have been whipped the last 6 years. Said, hey man, ain't been able to do anything to stop the enemy from stealing that God has planted and grown and harvested. Hey man, for them to enjoy. They've been reduced to poverty. They've been reduced, my friend, to, hey man, little and next to nothing. And now God is saying we're going to have to downsize, hey man, this crowd that has shown up. And let me point this out and I'll get into some thoughts tonight. Hey man, this downsizing was, I believe, as the Lord speaks and communes with Gideon, that this downsizing was for the glory of God. Hey man, as in the end, it would prove Him to be the God of the valleys. Amen. And can I say tonight, And we'll see it here in a little while, but, hey man, it wasn't the size of the crowd that God was counting on. Hey man, but it was the character that resided in the men that God is going to move upon and work in through, hey man, an encounter, a vision of God, and through the valor of God in their life. Hey man, and we'll see here in a moment this matter of vigilance that God is going to be able to magnify Himself as the God of the valleys. Can I say tonight, hey man, in spite of whatever the enemy may have whispered in your ear, and in spite of whatever ground it looks like the enemy has taken, no matter the number of the enemy and the size of the enemy, hey man, God does not need a majority, hey man, to bring a victory in the battle. In fact, God has always worked through the minority. Hey man, listen, thank God He doesn't need the biggest crowd. And He doesn't need the largest sized army. Amen. He don't even need the greatest warriors that have a battle mind. And my friend are skilled in the art of warfare. Amen. Oh, God needs just some men who'll be vigilant and be willing to let God make Himself big in their life. Amen. That on the other side, it'll be God that gets the glory. And you and I that get, my friend, none. Amen. I believe that's the intent of these verses tonight. Amen. It is here that we come to understand at this downsizing that God is going to do. How would God whittle and weed out those that, amen, would maybe hinder God getting the maximum glory that He would need. He's going to do that, amen, revolving it around the matter of vigilance. Amen, the matter of vigilance. You say, preacher, that's a big word. What does it mean? Amen, vigilance simply means this. Amen, the forbearance of sleep. Amen, those that are willing to go without, amen, physical rest that they may engage in the valley of Jezreel. The matter of vigilance, this thing of vigilance means a state of being awake. It means watchfulness or circumspection. Amen. I like this definition that Webster's gave. He said, vigilance is attention of the mind in discovering and guarding against danger or providing for safety. And can I say in the valley of Jezreel, it is God who is God of the valley. Amen. But God was looking. I know, is it the Marines? Their slogan simply is His. And has been since I was a boy. Amen. We're looking for a few good men. And can I say, I believe that's what God was looking for. Amen. I'm looking for a few vigilant men. I don't need 32,000. I don't need 10,000. Amen. The Lord said, if all I have's a handful. Amen. Give me a handful that, amen, understand that this enemy ain't playing games. And give me a handful that'll be vigilant with the enemy. And be vigilant in their faith. And be vigilant in their trust of a sovereign God. And be vigilant and watchful and circumspect. Amen. And believing that God can do with 300. Amen. Under His power and His influence. Amen. What 1,000,000 men cannot do in their own power. Amen. Can I say tonight, He is the God of the valleys, but my friend, there is a matter of vigilance that God is looking for in our lives. Somebody say amen. Amen. This matter of vigilance tonight, amen, you'll find that it is of prime importance in regard to a soldier and his warfare. Amen. In fact, throughout the New Testament, we are commanded, amen, to be sober and to be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And so this matter of vigilance tonight, amen, we're living in a day in which God desires spiritual growth in our life. Amen. And if we'll allow God to move and we'll allow God to plan and we'll allow God to work, amen, I'm glad glad to tell you tonight there'll be some spiritual growth. But it won't be without some enemies trying to steal that. Amen. And what the Lord is teaching in this text and is commanding us in the New Testament, Brother Larry, is that we must be on our toes. Amen. You can't be casual in your spiritual life. Amen. God wants to prove Himself big. And God wants to be the God of your valleys. But God, amen, is not going to do that in people's lives or through people's lives. Amen. They do not have some vigilance. Amen. I can't imagine being in Gideon's shoes to see that crowd. Amen. A 32,000 show up. Amen. You're already outmanned. You're already, amen, you're already, the odds are stacked against you. Only to have God say there's too many. Amen. And watch it go from 32,000 to 300. Amen. To be whittled down to less than 1% of what He started with. Amen. Over 99% of that crowd. Amen. They forsook Gideon. They forsook the valley. They did not think it was worth the fight. The other, amen, another 10,000. Amen. Didn't have any sobriety. Amen. And any insight of the foe and what the enemy was doing. Amen. And God said to Gideon, pack their bags and send them back to mama. Amen. I work with the 300. Amen. I only need Gideon. I don't even need 1%. I can work with less than 1%. Amen. That showed up and you'll see I'm the God of the valley. Somebody ought to shout right there. Amen. I'm glad my God is able. You say, preacher, I feel so small. Preacher, I feel like I've been reduced to near nothing. But my friend, if you'll have some vigilance in the valley, amen, the enemy can't take what God has planted. Amen, if you and I will be on our toes, and you and I will be circumspect, if you and I, my friend, will not be spiritually lethargic and lazy, and realize in these days, as Paul said, it's now time. And it is high time to awake out of sleep and to arise to the life that God has saved us to live. Amen. I'm glad I'm a learning in these days, Seth, that God is the God of the valley, Seth. Amen. All He needs is a little vigilance on my part. Amen. To do a big work that'll glorify Him as the God He is. Amen. Let me give you a few thoughts here. Amen. It'll get a little rough and then it'll get good. Somebody say amen. Amen. I see in this text tonight. Amen. I see, Brother Ronnie, I see the pride that was recognized. Amen. Notice what the Lord said in verse number 2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel, watch it now, vaunt themselves against me. Amen. And He said, if I give the Midianites into your hand, with 32,000 Israelites, as lopsided as that would be, and that would have been a miracle in its own right. But you know what God said? He said, Gideon, I see what's in their heart. I see what's going on in their life. And Gideon, even though it would still be a miracle, the fact of the matter is they would vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Amen. You know what the Lord is putting His finger on, Brother A.L.? He's putting it on an area that we all need to identify in our own lives. Amen. That great nemesis of sin in the lives of humankind. Amen. That sin of pride. That pride that says, I don't need God. And pride that says even when God moves and works in our life, amen, that I have done this thing when in fact it is God in His goodness and grace that has moved it and done miracles in our life. Amen, there's a pride that was recognized. The Lord said they will vaunt themselves. That's interesting. Amen, that word vaunt themselves, that phrase means to glean. It means to embellish or to boast. He said, if I do this at 32,000, Gideon, I know that looks like a small crowd compared to what you're going up against. And Gideon, I see big pride in them. And they'll go back home to their tent. They'll go back to their tribes. And they'll say, they, amen, brought a victory. They saved themselves. And God will not get any glory out of this valley. Amen. Can I say it's in the valley? Amen. That my friend, when we're faced against the enemy, amen, robbing us from spiritual growth, amen. Can I tell you tonight what God really wants us to recognize is how much pride is in our life. I've heard people brag on the fact they didn't have a problem with pride. And I want to go, that's pride in itself. Amen. If you got to brag that you got pride, then you got pride. Don't have pride then. Amen. Really, you're proud of the fact that you think you ain't got a problem with pride. Amen. Pride don't always, amen, show up in our life by, amen, the seeking of promotion and the thinking that we're really something and displaying it through some great external ways. I understand the Word of God warns if having a proud look. And the Word of God warns if having a proud heart. And the Word of God warns you and that of being a haughty spirited individual. And my friend, can I say that, amen, it is when we're filled with pride that failure comes. Amen, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Can I tell you tonight, amen, why so many are missing out on spiritual growth? And I tell you why so many tonight are backing up rather and growing forward in their faith and in their journey. Why they're giving up so much ground? It is, amen, none other than pride that is the problem. God puts His finger on it and says, if I'm going to be the God of the valleys, ain't it interesting? Amen. We're always looking for more and we're looking for bigger and better. And yet the Lord said, the fact of the matter is, Gideon, there's too many here for me to give you the victory. In other words, we've got to downsize because Gideon, I see what's in y'all that you don't even recognize in yourself. Amen. Ain't that a shame? I'm ashamed of myself. How many times God does great things and I think, boy, I've done a great job. When in fact, all I did was showed up. Amen. And the fact is, all you do is show up. Amen. That's the best we can do on our best day is report for duty. Amen. And anything, my friend, that comes as a victory. Amen. Oh, we need to let pride be reduced in our life and recognize, amen, that vaunting of ourselves. He said, amen, they'll vaunt themselves. Did you catch the definition there? Amen. It means to embellish. What he's saying is, amen, if we do it with 32,000, amen, they'll start embellishing the truth of what really happened. Amen, they'll talk about the soldiers they slew. They'll talk about how many fell at their hand when in fact, it's God in the end of this valley that, amen, is going to move in miraculous ways to bring the foe down. Amen, they're going to go home with their harvest. They are going to go home with their fruit and their labor and their hand. Amen, they're going to go back and feed their babies the rest of the year. And what God said is, amen, I don't want them embellishing because of their own pride. Amen, and telling their family and their friends, amen, how great of a fight they fought. Amen. Can I say pride often shows up in embellishments that we make? Amen. Amen. Y'all know I'm preaching it right. Amen. If He's going to be the God of the valleys, there is a pride that must be, amen, must be recognized as vaunting themselves with something the Lord said they will do against me. Against me, that is, amen, that is, if this was not dealt with, amen, the Lord said they've been in trouble with me already. For the last 6 years, I've had to send the Midianites down here to clean their plow and rebuke them and chasten them. because of the sin that's in their life. And God said, after all that they've been through, amen, they could, amen, still wind up embellishing and gleaming and boasting and gloating and something they done that they never did do, that it was God that done it. And the Lord is saying, amen, we need to deal with this so they don't wind up in bigger trouble with me. And I say pride is something God hates. Amen. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. Very first on that list, Brother John's a proud look. Amen. I could preach all night on it. Pride must be recognized in the valley of Jezreel. My friend, there is a pride that must be recognized. Our vigilance. We'll never be vigilant. We'll never be vigilant. We'll never, amen, give attention of mind to the discovering and guarding against danger. Amen. We'll not be willing to rush to, amen, the forefront of the battle without some vigilance. And God is saying, amen, if you're going to have vigilance, amen, there is a pride that must be recognized. Number two, notice with me, the people that were removed. 32,000 showed up for duty. God said, there's too many, Gideon, there's too many for me to give the victory and to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, said, mine own hand has saved me. And then the Lord said in verse number 3, you can look at it, wow, amen, I just referenced it, but the Lord says, hey, here's what you do, and He's going to give him a two-step plan to remove some people. And my friend, God is not going to be able to work among them because they're in this crowd. What is the first thing He says? He said, tell everybody who's fearful and afraid, they're dismissed. And 22,000. Brother Wayne, that blows my mind. Gideon blew the trumpet and 32,000 that were scared, at least they showed up. I'd be saying scared or not, bless God, strap your sword on, it's time to go. And yet God said the people, there are people that must be removed. What do we learn from this? Is that those who were scared had to be dismissed. You see, the Lord in the matter of vigilance, the vigilance of Gideon and these men, my friend, God had to weed through and God had to whittle out, amen, those who were scared. And when it comes, amen, to the valley of Jezreel and the enemy, amen, trying to take from us what God has given us and what God has sown and God has grown, and God brings the harvest time in our life, amen, you're never going to come through that thing, amen, with God magnified as the God of your valley if you're scared and afraid and fearful. We got people in this day, amen, listen, they would fall in the category of the 22,000 today. Amen, those too scared to stand, and those that are afraid to put their life on the line, and those that are afraid to draw lines in the sand and say, enough is enough, and God is God, and holiness is holiness, and the Bible is still the Word of God, and we're going to stand for what God has given us, and we're not going to give up any ground to the enemy. Amen, God gave us these things, and God has blessed us. And we're not going to let the enemy reduce us to fear. And I say tonight, amen, we ought to rise with courage in our heart. There's no room for cowardice in the valley. Amen, you say, why, preacher? I tell you what that crowd lost sight of, and it was the God of the valleys that was going to do it. That's why they were afraid. That's why they went home with their tail tucked between their legs. Yeah. That's why they went home and cried to mama. Amen, that's why they left the battle that day. Because there was a fear that had gripped their heart. They had lost sight of the fact that God was the God of the valleys. Why be afraid when God is in control? Say, oh, I know that. Why are you so scared? Amen. We know it. Amen. Can I say this? Amen. I think our problem tonight is we know too much and live too little. I say that again. We know too much and live too little. Amen. So I don't like that. Well, let's choke her on down. It'll go down. We know too much. We know all the right things to say. We live too little. God is saying, I can't do anything with a bunch of scaredy cats. There's no cowards that's going to thrive in my army. They see it's that crowd that are too scared that if God were to do it with them, they would be the same ones that would turn around in the end and say, we have saved ourselves. My own hand did this. Hey, you bunch of liars, you're the one that was scared and afraid to begin with. Amen. And God is saying there are people that must be removed. That this mentality of being scared and fearful, there is no place for that in the army of the Lord. In the New Testament, what are we told? Paul's told Timothy, amen, you need to learn how to endure hardness as a good soldier. Amen. Amen. So those who are too scared, verse 3, verse 4 through 7 is the trying, the trial the Lord puts the, amen, 22,000 are scared and go away. There's 10,000 left. God is going to put those 10,000 men on a trial down by the water. That's what the Lord said. The Lord said, Gideon, I'm going to try. There's still too many. There's still some issues that need to be drawn out of the camp here in this valley. And Gideon, amen, those that I tell you to take with you, who's you going to take? And those whomsoever as say shall not go are not going to go. Separate them. Amen. Y'all with me? I'm talking about God's work in our individual lives. What does God want to remove out of us as a people? He wants to move the scared part of us. Then here at the trying of the water, the trial that they are put under, is that everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. And he said, Gideon, on the other hand, that's one side. Everybody else who comes down to the water brook and they get down on their knees, stick their face down in there like an old hog would, amen, you put them on the other side. Amen. And so we find here that God says, what I want you to do is take those and number the number of them that lap, putting their hand to their mouth. He said, there's going to be 300 of them, Gideon. And you put them on one side, 9,700 is going to be on the other side. And they're the crowd that went down there like, amen, like horses to the trough. And, amen, just slurped it up and got all that they needed. And I believe that at the picture there speaks of those who are too self-centered. Those that, my friend, are more concerned about their fleshly appetites, concerned about what they need and what they want and what they desire and their welfare. And God said, I can't be the God of the valleys in someone's life like that. Amen. And so there's the separating and the removing of that is self-centered in our life. Amen. I know ain't nobody in the building wants to admit it. Amen. But I believe tonight if pride is an issue and being self-centered, my friend, and pride is the number one, being self-centered likely is the number two issue in our life. Amen. We're so self-consumed. Amen. Brother Tim didn't know what I was preaching tonight. He did quote a verse this morning I want to use right here. Amen. The Bible said no man ever yet hated himself. Amen. You know who we love most of all? Us. We love us some self. Is that right? Amen. Can I say you'll have to die to self before God can magnify His self in your life? Amen. self-centered people, man-friendered people that God, amen, cannot work in their life, proving himself to be, amen, who that he said that he's going to be. Amen, he is the God of the valley, but, amen, it's the scared crowd and the self-centered people. And my friend, God says, if I did do something in their life, they'd just turn around and take the glory for it themselves. Amen, God is looking for that crowd that, amen, is willing to go through life. Amen, watching out for the enemy. Amen, keeping their eye on the enemy, keeping their eye upon the Lord. And my friend is willing, amen, to be sober and vigilant in this world. Amen, can I say tonight, amen, we need to die to self. Amen, I'm telling you tonight, if there's ever been a need of revival, amen, we're living in that hour and that day. Amen, and revival is not going to come until, amen, we are willing to die to the self-centered life. Amen. Amen. And I say tonight, those who are too self-centered, if God was going to be the God of the valleys, it would take, amen, the right kind of soldier, not the right size of army. Can I say that again? That's a little deeper than y'all took it. Amen. If God is going to give victory in the valley, he's looking for the right kind of soldiers, not the right size of army. Amen. Believe that's right. He's the God of the valleys. This matter of vigilance, we see there's a pride that was recognized. There were the people that were removed. Number three, and here's the part y'all smile on now, amen, the promise that was reassuring, amen. And the Lord said unto Gideon, listen to verse 7, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. Amen, can I say tonight that the Lord, amen, did a work in that crowd that had showed up that day. I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for how it witnesses how God works in our individual lives. Amen. Ain't you glad tonight the Lord knows what he's doing? The Lord knows what to put his finger on in our life. And the Lord knows what to remove out of our lives as we, amen, are faced with valleys where the enemy has come in. Amen. But in the middle of all that, I don't know if y'all even with me tonight, be honest with you, but can I say, can you put yourself in Gideon's shoes? Try to. He's just went from 32,000 all the way down, Brother Jerry, to 300. Over 99% of the crowd that showed up through one reason or another has either walked away or been sent home. And then God says, now I can deliver you out of the hand of the Midianites. But Lord, it don't look like it. It wasn't looking real good when they all showed up. But now, Lord, it really doesn't look good. Amen. But you know what they had? They had a word from God. Can I say tonight in the valleys in which you and I, amen, go through, I'm glad to report to you tonight, amen, that we've got some words from God tonight that reassure our hearts, amen, that he is going to bring us through. We're not on the losing side. We're not on the defeated team. Amen, God said this is the crowd, the vigilant crowd. This is the crowd that's got some valor. This is the crowd that has had an encounter with God. This is the crowd, amen, that has dealt with pride in their life and has dealt with self-centeredness in their life and has dealt with fear and being afraid in their life. And now, Gideon, you may feel like you've been reduced to very little. Gideon, amen, all you need, amen, is 300 men and a promise from God. Amen, that's all you need to make it through the valley. can I say all you need today, amen, is whatever God has left in your leg and a promise from His Word, amen, that is all you and I need to make it through the valley. Amen. I wrote it down this way. They had a word to go by. Amen. I can imagine maybe, amen, Brother Gerald, I can imagine some say, amen, where are you 300 boys going? And Gideon said, we're going down there and we're going to deliver, amen, Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. Amen. I can imagine that crowd shake their head. Amen. I imagine some of them said, well, it was good to know you. Amen. It was good while it lasted. Amen. But it didn't matter what anybody said. It didn't matter what discouragements is thrown their direction. Amen. I'm glad today in these days we got a word to go back. Amen. It doesn't matter what others say. It doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. Amen. I'm glad tonight there's a promise in Israel. Surely we have a word to go by. Yeah. Amen. I'll tell you what. Amen. What caused them to journey on their way? Amen. With a little joy in their heart. Amen. Was that echo in their, amen, down in the recesses of their mind. Amen. God said He was going to deliver us. God said. Amen. Ain't you glad today? Amen. Every now and then you can look the devil in the eye and say, but God said. Amen. I'm glad I can look the world in the face today. And when they say, we're not going to make it in these valleys, Seth. Amen. I can look them with confidence in my heart, Seth. Amen. Knowing I've been with God and say, amen, I hear what you said. But God said, Seth. Amen. I'm going to tell you today, amen, you ain't going to make it through very many valleys, Seth, if you don't learn to live but God said. Amen. They had a word to go by. Amen. Boy, that feels good right there. Glad I got a word to go by. Amen. I could give you some of them words He's given me. Amen. By the way, He's given to you if you'll dig them out in there. Amen. A personal word. Amen. I like it. Are y'all listening? And the Lord said unto Gideon. Amen. He said unto Gideon, He had a personal word. Amen. You know what Gideon can say? Hey, boys, God has spoken to my heart. And God has given me a word. Amen. I don't know what God's give you. I don't know what word you're going by. I don't know if you're going by Reader's Digest or Dr. Field or Dr. Doodlestopper. Amen. I don't know what words you're going by. Amen. But I made up my mind a long time ago. Amen. That sink or swim, come hell or high water. Amen. I'm going with what God put in my heart. Amen. There ain't nothing you can say. There ain't nothing anybody can master and promote around me that would distract me today. Amen. Because God gave me a word to go by. God gives a word to His people. Amen. I feel like preaching, but Gerald, I'm telling you, children of God, listen, children, God has given us a word to go by. If you'll make up your mind to rest yourself in the promises He's made, stand on the ground He's given you, and do what God has said. Amen. You'll come out on the other side with your hands uplifted. Amen. Singing the God of the mountains. Amen. He's still God in the valleys. And God will help you make it through. They had a word to go by. Amen. Let me give you another thought. Amen. Look there at verse number 8. The Bible said, so they took their... what they take, their victuals. Amen. Say, preacher, what is that? Amen. It literally means, listen now. Amen. It means food for their journey. It's a traveling sack. Amen. God separated this crowd. God said, them's the ones I use. Amen. God whittled them down to nearly next to nothing. And my friend, He gave them a word to go back. Amen. But can I say they had provisions to sustain them? Amen. I'm glad there is food for the journey. I'm glad our God, He don't just send us on our merry way and say, make it the best you can. Praise God, He makes sure there's some provisions along the way. Amen. I'm arresting in that tonight. Amen. Feasting on the promises of Christ my King. Yeah. Amen. Through eternal ages, let them ring. Amen. But I'm glad every step in this journey that my God has given me. Amen. What I need to make it. Amen. They were not going to die in the journey. They were not going to die in the valley. They had a word to go by, and they had provisions to sustain them. Amen. I don't know if that's helping anybody today. Amen. But I'm telling you, my God's been good to me. Amen. I could give you a sad story. I could tell you about those that have walked away. I can tell you about those that have laid. I can tell you about those that said some cruel things. I can tell you about the hurts. I can tell you about the betrayals, sir. But I'd rather tell you how good God's been. And God has been faithful. And God is give, amen, the provisions to sustain me in this journey. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm about to explode. Mama, I'm about to explode. Amen. I'm glad I got some victuals tonight. Amen, amen. You say, what's in victuals? Amen, I can get my own mouth. Amen, in the Word of God. Amen, and every day there's a verse. Every day there's a passage. Amen, every day there's something to feast on. Amen, when I need something from His hand, He's the God that giveth. Amen, perfect. Amen, perfect blessings from heaven. Amen. I feel like saying tonight, singing with David of old, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Amen. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Amen. Them 300 men, they may have had, amen, they may have had the odds stacked against hope. And when God sent them on their journey and Gideon led them away, praise God, they had a biscuit in one hand and a chicken leg in the other. And God provided what would sustain them through the valley. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, if you'd let it sink in your thick Baptist head, that God, amen, is assuring and reassuring us with His promises. They had a word to go by. But Gerald, they had provisions to sustain them. I know I'm going long, but hey man, you don't want me to quit right now feeling good as I feel, do you? Amen. That'd be a crying shame. Amen. Can I say tonight? Amen. Can I say tonight? They had the tools for the victory. I don't know to this point that they even knew how victory was going to come. Amen. Listen. Amen. Best I can tell, they didn't have a sword to their side other than Gideon. Amen. When they come to the place and God is going to give the victory, amen, then men jump up and shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. But you remember, we'll look at it in a week, next week, or 2 weeks, I don't know. But Brother Jerry, you remember how God gave the victory? He gave them the victory through the trumpet. Amen. As far as I know, Gideon had not told them what the battle plan was before they ever got to have to fight and face the enemy and the will and the plan of God. God had already given them the tools they needed for victory. Amen. Can I tell you tonight? Oh, dear Lord. You know what the trumpet speaks of, don't you? Speaks of the preached truth of God's Word. What did God tell Isaiah, Brother Wayne? He said, Isaiah, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Lift it up like a trumpet. And I say the man of God is to be a spiritual trumpet in your life. And you know what that trumpet does? Amen. It gives you the tools that you need for victory. Amen. Can I preach about an hour right here tonight? Amen. I'm thankful for the ministry of the trumpet in my life. I'd hate to think where I'd be had I not, amen, been given some trumpeted truths. Amen. God knew what by me, did women, hey, amen, was going to face the enemy. Ain't it amazing that God gives us what we need, amen, to have the victory? Amen. That's why you ought not ever get mad at a preacher for preaching to you. So I don't like your attitude sometimes. I don't like your attitude sometimes. Amen. That goes both ways. You ain't always got a good attitude. Don't expect me to always have one. I don't care if a man of God is, I don't care what he's doing. If he's giving me truth, you know what I try to do? I try to put that truth away in the arsenal of my heart. Because if I don't need it now, I'm going to need it somewhere down the road. Is that right? God gave them the tools that they needed for victory. Amen. Can you imagine what that would have been like? Amen. Gideon, what do you mean? Grab our victuals and put our trumpet on our side? Amen. Surely we need a sword or a spear or some shields. And yet Gideon said, all you need is a trumpet. All you're going to need is a trumpet. It'll make sense down the way. And even when it don't make sense, when you come out on the other side, amen, that trumpet holds the key to God, magnifying himself to be the God of the valleys in your life. And I'm telling you tonight, amen, God gives us the tools that we need for victory. Amen, amen. What a blessing. Amen. Let me say tonight, what they had was a word to go by, and provisions to sustain them, and tools for the victory. There's something interesting I noted in verse number 8 again. They had a God that was bigger than the odds. It's interesting to me the emphasis that is made in verse number 8 is that Gideon took with him the 300 men. And then when it references the foe, it says the host of the Midianites. There is a handful going against a host. Preacher, why were they not afraid? Preacher, why are they willing to go into the valley? Because they had a God that was bigger than the odds. Tonight, child of God, as I'm winding down, I'm done. I'm about tuckered out. I almost need some oxygen right now. Can I tell you tonight, your God is bigger than the odds. No need for you to kind of waller your way and make a ditch through life, dragging out your tracks. Say, but preacher, you don't know. I don't need to know. I know this. Your God is bigger than the odds. And if you'll go home tonight getting a hold of that truth, you may wake up in the morning going, He is the God of the valleys. Vigilant people say, my God is bigger than the odds. We've all faced things in our life that we felt like, not even felt like, we knew was bigger than we could handle. I always get tickled at people who make foolish statements. Maybe take a verse out of context or something they heard. They say, well, I'm going through some things right now, but I'm glad God won't ever let me go through more than I can handle. Well, if God wouldn't let you go through more than you could handle, you'd never learn how much you really needed God. I'm telling you tonight, I have gone through things, Brother L, that was too big for me to handle. Well, preacher, how in the world have you made it? My God is bigger than the odds. Whoa, hallelujah. If you only knew, if God gave me liberty, I'd tell you,
If you only knew some of the things folk have said this year. You won't make it. We've had them say about our church, well, who's going to pay the bills down there, everybody leaving? Well, they weren't paying the bills. God's been paying the bills all along. God's bigger than the odds. You say, explain that. I can't explain. All I can tell you is, He's the God of the valleys. He's the God of the valleys. And His promises reassure us. It don't matter. Don't matter what the church goes through, what your family goes through, what you as an individual go through. God is bigger than the odds. Amen. The last report I got just a little while ago, back there, my time with the Lord, the report I got from heaven is, God ain't worried about much. Right before I come out here, I went and I called on heaven one more time. Heaven said, everything's good. God told me back there about an hour and 35 minutes ago, Lord told me, said, I got it all under control. I mean, am I going to come out here and say otherwise? I'm telling you, He's bigger than the odds. He's bigger than the odds. Ain't you thankful He's the God of the valleys? Be vigilant, church. Be vigilant. Be vigilant. Be vigilant. Give attention to the areas of your life that God has pointed out to us tonight. Let God put His finger on the pride of your life. Let God reduce the being scared and self-centeredness out of our hearts. My friend, let's leave tonight clean and reassured in the promises of God. God's got it. God's got it. Heavenly Father, we love You tonight. I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Lord, we have hit another gear here for a little while. Lord, I'm glad You know what we need. Lord, I pray this evening You'd help the people of God. Lord, would You work tonight? Lord, in every heart and every life. Lord, there's families here tonight that need a touch from the Lord. There's some here tonight that are going through valleys. Lord, the enemy is out in those valleys to rob them from the blessings and the spiritual growth that You give them. Lord, I pray tonight that You'd work in such a way, Lord, in our lives, that, Lord, You could, through us, magnify Yourself. Lord, I pray for that child of God that's just doing the best they can. Lord, just doing the best they can. It's got bigger than they can handle. Lord, would You allow them, Lord, to get tapped back into the Word that You've given to go by. Lord, may You cause them to understand that, Lord, You have provided what will sustain them for their journey. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we'd lay hold upon the tools You give us for victory. Lord, more than anything, when we pillow our head here in a little while tonight, I pray the Holy Ghost would give us that rest and burn it into our heart. Our God is bigger than the odds. Lord, I pray You'd be glorified tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we do pray. Amen.